a special presentation today with Jen and the team that went to Indiana. So we look forward to hearing from them.
Let's see if I can get this to work. Yay! I was promised that everything would play smoothly today. Otherwise, I was owed $100. So now I'm not really sure if I want it to go all smoothly or not. But earlier it did today, so we'll see what happens. 2 weeks ago today, myself and four others left for the International Youth Convention, otherwise known as IYC, in Indianapolis, Indiana. And since all of you helped us get there, we kind of wanted to spend this morning sharing about our trip and our experiences with you. To give you a little history on IYC, it was started in 1924 as a single youth day event. In 1930, they started holding a three-day every other year youth convention. The convention has been held all over the U.S. and has been in three different Canadian provinces. I believe it was in Seattle at one point. I'm not sure how long ago, but it's been quite a while. In 1990, the youth ministry team of the Church of God created a purpose statement for IYC, which is to create a moment for life change, and that is the purpose and focus behind every part of convention, to be an event that affects each of the students who come for the rest of their lives. Throughout the convention, we heard testimonies from past attendees about how IYC has changed the course and direction of their lives, and I had to count, but this was the 10th IYC that I had been to, and I can remember specific events from each of them. I started when I was a freshman in high school and have missed two since then and now. But I can still remember specifics. As I said, we left last Sunday. We got to the airport through security into our gate without any problems. Our flight ended up being delayed an hour and a half due to thunderstorms in Chicago, which is where our connecting flight was. But because of all O'Hare Airport was affected, our second flight was delayed, and so we made our connection and ended up in Indy around 1 a.m., later than expected, but we did arrive safely. Then we had to get a rental car. And for those of you who remember our last youth trip and my experience with rental cars, I was a little apprehensive. But we got a car without any problems and then headed to the hotel. I had reserved a hotel in January, and so for the 4 weeks leading up to convention, I'd been getting weekly emails from the JW Marriott with information regarding my upcoming stay, along with a confirmation code. Therefore, I assumed that's where my reservation was for. I park the car, go into the hotel to check in. The lady can't find my name, so I show her the email with the confirmation code, and she tells me that's not a confirmation code for a reservation, that's a confirmation code for a sale they were advertising. You don't have a room here. Now, numerous things pass through my mind at once. First, I must be the worst youth leader on the planet. I cannot plan a youth trip without something going drastically wrong. Two, I know we have rooms, I just called and double-checked. Two, there aren't going to be any more rooms available because everything had been sold out previously. Two, I'm going to have to call one of my friends and wake her up at 2 in the morning and say she has 5 guests for the week. I then find an email from January that is from the courtyard of Marriott, which also has a confirmation code. So I show the clerk this email, and she says, oh, that's it, but let me call over there just to double-check. She calls the courtyard of Marriott, and they do not have a reservation for us. She gets a really confused look on her face and says, well, there is another Marriott in town. Let me try them. So she calls the downtown Marriott, where we do have a reservation. How we ended up there, she couldn't tell me, except that it was all very confusing, and she wasn't sure what happened. But so we drive there, and I'm half expecting the guy to tell me we don't have a reservation, but he does. And then I say, well, I need a rollaway bed. I had called several months earlier and asked for them to reserve one for the room for us, since there were 5 of us staying in one room. And the person that I had talked to on the phone said, sure, that's not going to be a problem. Just tell him when you check in. So I told him when I checked in, and he said, no, you can't have one. It's a fire hazard. I said, well, they told me I could. He says, no, I'm not giving you one. So now it's about 2:30 in the morning, and since I had no desire to sleep on the floor, we have to go to Walmart to buy an air mattress, a blanket, and a pillow. We get back to the hotel around 4 a.m., and I think everyone ended up sleeping by 4:30 a.m. That was a very long first day. Thankfully, we did not have anything early to get up for on Monday morning, so I did make them sleep in. We went to register, bought t-shirts, headed to Anderson University to walk around campus, ate at my favorite pizza place, and then we went to Ivanhoe's, which is an ice cream parlor. This is where I learned that my students are not very good at making decisions. I'm pretty sure that they could have stood there for an hour deciding what kind of ice cream to get if I had not rushed them. Now, there were 100 different flavors of shakes and 100 different flavors of sundaes, but still. Oh, I went too fast. We then head back to Indy for the first main service. This is Zealand, and they led the first night of worship. They are a group from New Zealand, but they chose the name Zealand because of the word zealous, and they want to be zealous for the Lord. And if you watch any of the videos, you can very easily see that. The speaker for the first night was Samuel Rodriguez. He is president of the National Hispanic Christian Leadership Conference, has spoken at a variety of well-known locations, been on the Times Most Influential People list, prayed with several presidents, and is a senior pastor at a church in California. I want to share a video of him speaking. This is not from our specific conference, but it will give you an example of what we experienced.
We can't be quiet. I was invited to make a prayer for this event in Washington, D.C. It was a large event. Mucho, mucho people. And I do mean mucho. And I was invited to pray, and the organizer is a television personality who you recognize. Not a believer, but he invited me. He's a friend. He said, "Reverend Rodriguez, I want you to come in. I want you to pray for the event." I said, "It's a secular event. It has nothing to do with Christianity. Why would you want me to pray?" "Well, I just want you to pray. You want me to come and pray for an event that has absolutely no spiritual kind of..." "Yeah, I want you to pray." "Oh, you want me to pray? You want me to pray? I'll pray. So they flew me in. It's a large event, and I do mean very large. A couple 100,000 people. And I come in, and I go backstage, and right there, it's going out there next to the Washington Monument, and we're going up, and I'm going up, and the personality looks at me and says, "We changed the program." And again, I took that red-eye flight from Frisco to D.C. So it's, third caramel macchiato, and I'm looking, and I'm going, "What?" And he went, "We changed the program. You're still praying, but in the spirit of correctness, we invited other people, other faith narratives to pray." And he goes, "You know how it is." I go, "No, I don't, but go ahead and tell me." And he says, "Well," and this sounds like three guys go to a bar, but you have to see it. It's actually, you can see what I say. He goes, we have a universalist minister who will pray. We have an imam, the Muslim faith. We have a rabbi, and you're the Christian. He goes, "You want to pray first or last?" Something inside of me said, "Son, you better pray last to fix all the mess everybody else makes out there in that place." So I said, "I'll pray last. With great humility, I'll pray last." So the lady went up first, and she goes up first, and she prayed, and she went, "God, you're the God of many names and no name at all. You're the air, you're the wind, you're the rock, you're the leaf, you're the tree. You are everything, and yet you are nothing. Amen." Well, isn't that special? And the imam prayed in the name of Allah, and the rabbi did a good prayer, and I'm coming up, and the Lord, the Spirit of God told me, just pray like you do at church. Y'all never been to my church. So I grabbed the mic, hit the mic, look, and said, "Okay, look, there's a crowd." Everybody's deer in headlights looking at you, and said, Let's pray. In the name that is above all the other names. In the name to which every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. No other name given unto man through by which salvation has come unto all mankind. In the name of he who saves, he who delivers, he who heals, and he who is coming back again. In the name of my Lord and my Savior, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we pray. For the next 4 to 6 minutes, the place wouldn't stop clapping and shouting. They couldn't stop. They couldn't continue. And someone asked, "Why are people reacting this way to a simple prayer? Why are they reacting like this?" Real simple. There is still power in the name of Jesus.
is still power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus.
He was just as passionate and entertaining for us. And I did have to say that while he was speaking, I was like, this guy is speaking really fast. So I kind of appreciated that. But his message for our group was that the world is in darkness. Christians are called to be the light, and light always overcomes darkness. It doesn't matter the situation. Our special event for that evening was John Michael Hinton, who is a magician. In his words, my goal is simply to be a tool that God can use to spread his incredible gospel. If my illusions earn me the right to be heard, awesome. But it's the heart of God that I want you to truly walk away remembering. This is one of the tricks that he showed us.
Hey, what's up, everybody? This is John Michael Hinton coming at you again. Hey, we just had an epic show here. We're tearing down, but I want to show all of you one more trick. The Rubik's Cube world record right now is 4.59 seconds. Think about that. How many times did somebody have to turn the cube in 1 second to get that record? So I've been working on how many turns I can get in 1 second. Let me show you what I mean. That's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20. So 20 moves away in 1 second. Here we go. Hmm. 20 moves in 1 second. Hey, I hope you guys have a great day.
He was definitely impressive. We were sitting in front of some boys who started off saying, oh, that's easy, I know how he did that, to, oh, this is going to happen next, to being in utter amazement. How in the world did he do that by the end? And he does give a gospel message at the end of his show, which I believe that he does that everywhere. Each of the nights before bed, I made each go prepare and share a devotion. And I have to say, for as much worrying as they did about it, they each did a great job. Eric talked about being joyful in everything and doing everything as if one was doing it for God. Katie talked about how technology can affect one's relationship with God. Melanie talked about praying. And Eliana talked about worrying and how to trust God with everything. Now, through the John Michael Hinton show, I started to feel nauseous. And before bed, I ended up getting sick and spent the night in and out of the bathroom throwing up. So needless to say, I spent the entire day Tuesday sleeping on the air mattress. The girls got up and went to 2 different breakout sessions. There were numerous ones to choose from, each with the topics of faith, purity, joy, and focus. And the girls will be telling you about some of those a little bit later. Tuesday afternoon is what the convention calls Impact Indy, or whatever city the convention is in. About 4 hours are set aside for groups to do some sort of service project throughout the city. They started this in 1992, and since then it is estimated that the youth of the Church of God have given back an estimated $500,000 worth of volunteer hours in total. Our service project was supposed to be working with a church plant called Inspire. They had bought an old Yumberlar that they were turning into a church building, and they had merged with another church, and so we were supposed to help them set up their stage, but I couldn't drive, and the service project was 30 minutes away. So our group, minus myself, signed up to help with the on-location service project, which is a program that benefited Feeding Children Everywhere, where the groups pack up meals to send out throughout the world. Their website says that over 100 million meals have been distributed, both in the U.S. and internationally, impacting 53 different countries and including 689,000 volunteers. That afternoon, the group wanted to spend some of their free time swimming in the hotel pool. Only after everyone had changed did we discover that our hotel did not have a pool, and they wouldn't let us use the JW Marriott's pool because they were already completely booked. It's very sad when you have to tell 3 girls who really want to go swimming that they can't because the hotel you thought you were staying at has a pool, but you're not actually staying there. So instead, they had to spend the afternoon walking around downtown Indy and visiting the Circle Center Mall. That evening's worship was led by Iron Bell Music. They're from Louisville, Kentucky, and started in 2009, worshiping together in somebody's home. Now they have worship nights where hundreds attend. The speaker for that night was Tim Ross. He is a senior pastor of a multi-ethnic, multi-generational church in Texas. He started preaching when he was 20 years old, and he's described as having an uncanny ability to minister across cultural and denominational lines. For our conference, he spoke about purity using Psalm 119. He picked out five verses that talked about following God's commands. His point was that purity is much more than just issues concerning sex, but it's about being pure in body, mind, and spirit, and the way we do that is by living in the Word. And he truly practices what he preaches. He had told a story that he had made a commitment with a friend, I believe in college, that they would read the Bible more than they read any other book for the rest of their lives, and he still does that. So he reads the Bible more than he reads anything else. That is faithfulness. Wednesday started out with a 5K freedom run at 8 a.m. Despite being 8 a.m., they did volunteer to do this. This was the first 5K the convention had done, and because of that, it was capped at 300. But every spot was filled in advance. The proceeds from the registration went to benefit the fight against human trafficking, particularly in one Bangladesh village. We had all signed up, but I opted not to test my stomach. However, they did give me a medal. So I do have a medal, even though I didn't participate. The main morning service worship leader was David Crowder, and the speaker was Nick Vujicic. I have no idea how to say his last name. Vujicic, there you go. I'm not going to remember that by a few minutes later. This was the speaker that I was most excited about hearing, though, because I'd been aware of him before the convention. He was born without arms and legs, and he created a ministry called Life Without Limbs. This is just a promotional video for his ministry, but it includes some of the stories that he told us.
I was born in Melbourne, Australia, 1982, and my parents had no idea that I was going to be born without arms or legs. I was the only one that I ever saw without limbs. My faith in Jesus Christ was sealed after 7 years of wondering why, God, I was born this way. He answered me very clearly through John chapter 9, and I gave my life to Jesus at 15 after reading about how he came across a man who was born blind. And I'm like, hey, hold on a second, this looks interesting. And no one knew why he was born that way. I'm like, perfect. So I read on, and in verse 3 of the 9th chapter, Jesus said, it was done so that the works of God would be revealed through him. And I'm like, wow, God, if you had a plan for the blind man, you do have a plan for me. And that was the beginning of my personal relationship with Jesus. Youth groups were starting to call me, churches were starting to call me, opportunities were opening up everywhere for me to share my testimony. I was speaking in front of 300 sophomore public high school students. 3 minutes into it, half the girls were crying. One girl in the middle of the room started weeping. She put up her hand and she said, I'm so sorry to interrupt, but can I come up there and give you a hug? In front of everyone, she came and she hugged me. She cried on my shoulder and whispered in my ear, no one's ever told me that they love me. No one's ever told me that I'm beautiful the way that I am. I couldn't believe it. It changed my life. At that moment, I knew God was ministering to her through me. It's not by my speech or my power. It was God. And my heart was ignited with a passion. And it was an awesome day to see one soul transformed forever. That was when I knew I was called to be a worldwide evangelist.
Do not leave me unchanged. Leave me unchanged.
You don't know what God can do with your broken pieces until you give God your broken pieces.
And I want you to know when you fall down, God's grace is sufficient. God's hand will come down and pick you up.
The first 7 years of ministry, God opened up doors for me to speak 2,000 times across 44 countries on 6 continents, from university campuses, 40,000 students in China, to India, where we're talking to sex slaves, to crowds in the jungle of India, 110,000 people, down to Indonesia and all of Southeast Asia, to speaking at congresses of nations like Colombia and Costa Rica, where you see the leaders of that nation commit that country to the Lord Jesus. To Korea and speaking into the next generation about depression and suicide, and to Eastern Europe, where we did Serbia, Slovenia, and Croatia. And then doors in the Middle East, the message of hope was spread throughout the whole Arab world. That is God. And we know we've just begun. By the grace of God, we have seen face to face 500,000 souls say yes to Jesus and be plugged into a local church. As crazy as it sounds, our goal at Life Without Limbs Ministry is to preach to every single soul on the planet. 7 billion people. We believe that this goal is possible as the Holy Spirit is gathering an army and building up supporters to send us and accomplish this mission. But this all takes support. And yes, I ask for your prayers. Pray for us, pray for our board, pray for our staff and our team. But we could not do this much where we've come this far without the people who financially support us in actively sending us to complete the mission before us. We are praying by faith that the Holy Spirit speaks to you about supporting us and becoming a partner in helping us to accomplish this awesome mission ahead.
God is good
all the time.
And all the time.
God is good and God is good.
All right.
My story is a story of redemption. Help us share it with the world so that others would be free indeed.
He spoke to us about joy and how he has never met anyone, orphans to billionaires, that aren't looking for some sort of happiness. He spoke of his own search and how he only truly found joy once he found Jesus. He defined joy as Jesus over you, which I thought was a very accurate way to define joy and something that I will always remember. There was a special concert Wednesday afternoon by rapper Kevin Burgess, or KB. And the next video I want to show is one of actually David Crowder's music videos, who led worship for the whole last 2 days of convention. But rapper KB makes a cameo in the video, so you'll get to experience a little bit of what our worship was like.
Kick her off, Wichita.
There is peace in, there is war, there is love in, we are torn, oh Lord. There's a void in, there's a song, there's a death in, we are born, there is blood in, we are home.
Taking. No one is free on them slaves, just only a slave with enslavement. Egypt is still in our nation, it changes faces, facing.
Whatever I
need,
yeah.
I'ma need more than they paying me. I don't need money, I need a key. I'ma need ego and liberty, free and the hidden invisibly. I'd rather die than be steeped in the tyranny. Just like I got it, I give it like oh. Race to the nations, no hating, you know. We integrated, we be in a race. So you loving your neighbors, they come in.
Yes, you're free, prove it. Yes, you're free, prove it.
was one of the songs that we sing in worship through several services. And I think one of my favorite parts of IYC, and one of the reasons that I think it's so important for youth to experience at least once, is that you don't get anywhere else 4,000 teens jumping, dancing, and worshiping God as an experience. That you only have to, you have to experience it to actually understand it. And you don't get that on Sunday mornings often. You also get a lot of rappers on Sunday morning worship either. But I really think that that's probably a glimpse of what heaven might be like. Jim Lyon, which I don't have a video since we all know him, started out the service on Wednesday evening, and then that followed by worship led by David Crowder. And Wednesday night was also the Silent Walk. This is an event that even though I have participated in, I guess, 10 times now, I am still always amazed. They ask for silence in the auditorium, and then they dismiss sections to leave the room and follow a route that makes it through, in our case, downtown Indianapolis. The Silent Walk ended in Military Park, then where each group got together and took communion as a group. What amazes me is that for at least an hour, from when the first group leaves the convention center to when the last group arrives at the park, 4,000 teenagers are quiet. It is difficult for me to get 10 to 15 teenagers quiet for 5 minutes to give them directions, let alone 4,000 of them for about an hour. The police have the streets blocked off, and so traffic is required to wait. And you can hear people blowing their horns and asking what's going on. The Silent Walk really, I think, is one of the more powerful parts of each convention. Thursday morning was our final service, and this is Danielle Strickland. She's a Canadian and a major in the Salvation Army. And she's passionate about social justice issues and how the church can help and engage. She's going to share one story, and this is one of the stories that she told us.
In evangelism myself, I was on a plane going from South Africa to Zambia, and I was really tired. I had been on a bit of a jaunt, you know, and I was really tired. I don't know what happens to you when you get tired, but when I get tired, I don't get sleepy, I get giddy. You know, I don't know how that goes. That's when I get into all my trouble. But anyway, so I'm sitting on this little plane going from South Africa, and I'm in the front row, and I'm by myself, you know, an extrovert who's giddy by themselves. It's like a timeout, you know. It was like punishment. And thankfully, just at the last minute, these five Muslim Shiite women, you know, totally covered in black with the window burqas, you know, they came in the plane, and four of them went to the back of the plane, and one of them, thank God, sat next to me. So we're sitting in the front row of this plane, and I did what you probably would have done, you know. I leaned all the way over till I was in her window view, and I said, hello, you know. And she said, hi, you know. I said, hi, I'm Danielle. And she's like, yeah, I'm asthma, you know. And then I was out of things to talk about to a Muslim. So I just said the first thing that came to my mind, because it was all over the news, I said, so what do you think of Osama bin Laden, you know. And she said, I'll never forget this, she said, I'm with him. And I remember thinking, like, on the plane? Like, this could either be the worst news or the best news of my life, you know? And so I was like, I actually affectionately now call her Asma bin Laden, you know? So I'm like, so what do you do, you know, Asma? Like, you know what's going on? I said, why are you with Osama bin Laden? Like, what do you have against us Westerners? You know, is it that we've commodified human beings across the earth? Is it that we exploit the poor? Like, you know, is it that, you know, like, I'm just like, name, pick one, what is it? She said, oh, it's none of that, as she sipped her Diet Coke, you know? She just said, you know, you're an infidel. It's just that simple. I was like, oh, right, I forgot. So what do you do? Asma goes, I just graduated from an Islamic fundamentalist school where my dad's the principal. I said, no way. What's your favorite subject? Asma said, evangelism. I said, no way. Tell me more. She said, well, actually, I'm particularly good, she said, at converting Christians to the Islamic faith. I said, finally, something in common. I said, I'm a Christian. She goes, yeah. I said, you could try me. Like, we're just sitting here with time to kill, and I'm out of lists of things to ask you about. So, like, try me. Give me your best pitch. I'd love to hear it, you know? She's like, really, right now? Like, just try. I said, yeah, I'm a Christian. This would be, like, decent, you know, a decent catch for today, you know, kind of thing. So she's like, she said, oh, okay. So she gets herself ready, you know, and so she starts on this pitch of, she looks, you know, she starts on this pitch, how merciful Allah is, and, you know, all the various things that she invites me to. You know, she's got it down. She's doing this pitch from her grade 9, you know, Islamic fundamentalist school. And I actually remember asking her a few questions, you know, but like, you have to wear that funny suit, you know, which I thought was a bit ironic given that I'm from the Salvation Army. But anyway, so she told me, you know, about the camaraderie between the women and how when they get together, you know, they're not objectified by men, you know, and we didn't have a conversation about subjugation and what that means. But anyway, and she gave me this really, really great pitch. And so then she just sort of said, so what do you think, you know? I said, yeah, it sounds amazing. Like your pitch is pretty solid, you know, well done. I could see how you got a really good grade in evangelism, you know. And she said, well, now it's your turn. I said, what do you mean? She said, well, now it's your turn. You're a Christian. Like, try me. So I was like, oh, okay. So then I'm like, surely at the last exponential conference, they did some sort of seminar on how to reach a Muslim, right? Like, I'm just like, clearly I'm doing a textbook job of it, you know? So, and I'm just thinking like, what is it that you're supposed to say to Muslims again? You know, like, I'm just going like, there's something in the Quran or something, you know, like, So then I just felt the Holy Spirit, you know, interrupt me, which is one of the ways you can tell the Holy Spirit's a woman, by the way. She is like always interrupting Holy Spirit. Anyway, so I just felt the Holy Spirit interrupt me and say, you know, Danielle, just tell her your story. Just tell her about me. So I was like, okay. So I said, look, Asma, like your presentation's so fantastic. You've obviously been just graduating a fundamentalist Islamic school. Your dad must be the principal or something. So like, it's amazing. It sounds incredible. But this is the thing. Like when I was 17 years old, I was in a jail cell. I was a juvenile delinquent. I was addicted to crack cocaine and I was alone. I was alone for my own safety and for the safety of society. I was that kind of a person. And Jesus showed up in my jail cell. And he told me that he loved me and that he could give me a new life, a brand new one. And that if I followed him, I would live this different way. And I did. I took him up on the invitation. And through a long, long story, God, you know, has made my life into this beautiful adventure. And I just cannot, as amazing as your faith sounds and as amazing as your presentation was, I cannot imagine one day of my life without Jesus. I just don't know what I would do. And Asma just got like super quiet, you know. And I remember thinking, I should never listen to the Holy Spirit. I should have went with the workshop, you know. And then Asma turned to me and she asked me something that forever changes the way I witness to this day. She said to me, would you like to see my face? And I remember thinking, yeah. Like, don't you want to just see people's faces when they're wearing burqas? Like, I actually literally have to contain myself sometimes. I'm like, peekaboo, you know, just like, gotcha, you know, like, that's just like all you want to do, right? Like, I said, yeah, I really want to see your face. So she just like kind of turns behind her and she sees it from mom's looking, you know, I can tell she's going to get in trouble, you know, and she lifts her burqa up so that I can see her. And she's so beautiful. You know, just like dimples, just 16 years old of mischievousness. I can tell she got in trouble a lot. I could tell. Just filled with like excitement of youth, you know, just like this beautiful girl. And she put her burqa down again, you know, a couple minutes passed and she turned to me and she said this, was I what you were expecting?
One of her, I mean, she's got tons of sermons online, and she told us many more stories that were amazing. And her purpose for our conference was talking about changing the world, starting one person at a time, changing the way that you see that one person, and then that goes to people. And she had amazing stories to share. After that, we found a Cracker Barrel for lunch, and I learned that on my next youth trip, I need to get menus ahead of time, so students can have as much time in the world as they need to choose what they are going to eat for lunch. I think we sent the guy already 3 or 4 times before he came back to take our order. We spent a couple hours at the Indiana State Museum, and then Thursday night we went to an Indians baseball game, which, to be perfectly honest, wasn't that exciting of a game. They only scored 2 runs because one of the umpires made a really bad call. But I will say that they had delicious ice cream that was very cost-effective. So if you're in Indiana and you like ice cream, baseball game. Friday was our one full free day. One of my aversions to having IYC in Indianapolis is that I had a very hard time coming up with fun things to do. But one can't think of Indy without thinking of the Indy 500, and so I decided that they should all go and experience the Indianapolis Motor Speedway Museum. Just a couple of fun facts. The Yankee Stadium, Rose Bowl, the Coliseum, and Vatican City can all fit inside the Indy Oval. Not all at once, obviously, but that's still a lot bigger than I thought it was. The race is 200 miles over a 2.5 circuit, or mile circuit. If all the Indy hot dogs and bratwursts that were sold on race day were laid end to end, they would circle the oval more than three times. The winner is awarded the Borg-Warner Trophy, which in 1935 cost $10,000. Today, it is valued at more than $1 million. We then spent Friday afternoon at a water park because we had no pool. I had promised them that they would find someplace, we would find some place to go swimming. And then Friday evening was spent relaxing in the room, followed by a late dinner. When I was starting to think of fun things to do in Indianapolis, the Children's Museum was one of the first things that came to my mind. I had been there once in college and had a really good time, despite the fact that I wasn't a child. So we spent our free time on Saturday at the Children's Museum. We learned about China, dinosaurs, American pop culture, Hot Wheels, space, trains, archaeology, and then read some inspirational stories about three children who changed our world. They also had a DC superhero exhibit, and in order to be educational, we all took a test to see which superhero we most related to. So, Erica was Superman, I was Supergirl, Melanie was the Blue Beetle, Eliana was Raven, and Katie was Batman. How that ended up, I'm not really sure, but I was surprised that we all got different things. At about 3 a.m., we headed to the airport to fly home. I had planned to stay a couple of days later in order to see some of my roommates from college. So I got everybody checked in, hugged the girls, and then sent them off with Eliana into security and hoped that they made it home. I did get a text later that night saying that they had made it safely. That gives you kind of just a brief overlook of what we experienced and some of the things that they did. And now I'm going to ask that the four other people that went come up here. I'm going to ask them some questions so they can share with you maybe some more of their specific experiences. So you have to get up. And you have to share this. All right, so this first question is for Katie and Melanie. So this was your first IYC. What stood out to you the most?
For me was how big it was. Like, I heard that there are lots of people, but like they said, there were like 4,000 teenagers there, and I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Do you have any to elaborate on that?
That's pretty much what I have. Oh, okay. It was pretty cool that there was a bunch of Christian youth.
Okay. So this is for Katie, Erica, and Melanie. Tell me about your two breakout sessions that you went to, which one you liked the best and why.
Sure. One second. Let me find it. Okay. So my first one was Own It, and it was under the faith category. It was by Kim Schussler and Abby Craig, and they talked about, their main thing was Lectio Divina, which was a way to break down scripture by reading it three times, and each time you did something different with it. The first time, you were just reading it to hear it. The second time, you wrote down what you think God was talking to you about, and then the third time, you prayed about it and asked him what that was supposed to do. And so they just talked about how important it is to slow down when you read the Bible, because God is speaking to you every single time you read it. And my second one was it was Starting Line Purity by Tyler Williams, and he's talked about how purity is not just sexual purity, it is a matter of body, mind, and heart that transcends every aspect of our life. I like this one better because it really stuck in my mind. Everything that he said, I remember a lot better, because it was really relatable, and he gave us, what's it called? A word that
I wasn't
you,
there.
Like, use it. Yeah, okay. I can't think of what it's called. But he gave us a word, and then each letter stood for something. There you go, acrostic. And so the word was halt, and it was hungry, angry, lonely, or tired. And those were the four times when Satan was most likely to tempt you to do something you know you shouldn't do. And that really stuck in my mind, because when I thought about, like, all the times that I probably should have stopped, like, eating something while it's hungry, or when I should have not yelled at Melanie, well, that's because I'm angry. So it's, like, all that, all of those times, like, they really related to me, and that really stuck in my mind.
Okay, so my first one was starting line faith, and second one starting line joy. I don't remember who talked about what, yeah. So the starting line faith, answer the questions, what does faith look like, where do I start, and how can I believe in something I can't see? And they also talked about to have faith in God and not just what he can do. And she told the story where I think one of her students had a brain tumor, and it was really big, and they weren't sure if it had cancer in it or not, and so, like, her friends, the girl's friends and her were praying, and the friends were praying that it'd be totally gone, and she was just praying, like, please help the doctors get rid of it. And when the surgeon was doing whatever they did, they checked, and the tumor was smaller than a pinky, and there's no cancer in it. And that really opened her eyes to, like, have faith in God and stuff. And my second one was about talking about what joy is and how to have it in your life. And this one was actually my favorite one, because her lesson was really good, but I got to talk to her afterwards. I was at the end of the line because everyone went to speak with her. But then I kind of joined the conversation with the guys in front of me, and we all prayed together, which is really nice.
Okay, my first one was called Red Light, Putting a Stop to Human Trafficking by Anne Brandon. She told us some statistics about human trafficking, and she told us ways to prevent it. So, like, if you see anything, then you can call to help prevent. Okay.
Can I just yell?
What? Can you what?
Can I just yell?
You can yell. Okay.
Okay.
My second one was Starting Line Focus by Chris Maloney. He talked about ways to stay in touch with God. I liked the first one better. It was interesting to learn about how we can stop human trafficking.
Okay, all right. Eliana, as a leader, what did you notice most about IYC and our girls?
It just always blows me away, like, to go to things like this and see 4,000 or more teenagers praising God. What's awesome is that we brought three girls who are really willing and excited to go. And while taking three kids doesn't really seem like much compared to the youth groups that brought 20 or more kids, every life counts. And I saw these girls commit to not be ashamed and to be a light, and so maybe next time we'll bring six kids.
All right, and so this is for Eliana and Erica. Tell me something that God taught you.
I had a God moment when I was definitely least expecting it, which is why I think it happened that way. It was actually at the KB concert. He had all of the kids chanting, "I believe that we will win." And it just kind of, like, hit me that I don't need to stress and worry as much as I do, because I know how our story ends.
The thing that I think God was teaching me during this was really to not be ashamed of him. I didn't even really think of it beforehand. Like, I didn't even consider that I might be ashamed of him. But then it's like at the concert, or at the convention, it's just everyone was there and no one was ashamed. Like, everyone talked openly about it, and, like, it just really hit me that I need to tell more people. Like, I just need to be open about it. It's a huge part of my life, and I want everyone else to know that.
All right, Eliana and Katie, tell me about your favorite main session leader and why.
Okay, my favorite main leader session was Danielle Strickland, because, wait, okay. So hers was on focus, and I loved her message, her energy, and all and her stories that she shared about how she evangelized to different people, and especially the one that she just that we just watched.
I liked the first one, Samuel Rodriguez. As you could tell from his video, he was very exciting and had a lot of energy. He talked about how we need to be a light and not be ashamed to be Christians. And something that he said that stuck with me was that we're not defined by what we do for God, but what God has already done for us.
All right, Eric and Melanie, what's the most fun thing you did and why?
Okay, I like doing the 5K. It was really fun. I tried to run the whole thing, but I couldn't. After the second mile, I walked like about the third one.
We'll believe whatever you say.
Yeah, she ran basically the whole thing, and she beat everyone else, like, in our group. So, my favorite thing, I actually have two. I really liked going to Greek's Pizza. It was really, really good. It was right after we had had the ice cream, though, so no one was really hungry, but we all ate anyway.
But they still ate the whole pizza.
Because it was so good. And then, like, waiting for a pizza, we just played a few games and stuff, and it was just really fun to hang out with each other. And then the other part was the water park. I love water parks in general. They're so much fun. We all got pretty burned, except for Katie somehow managed to, like, not at
she
all.
She put sunscreen on?
No.
What?
Didn't
yeah.
you?
Yeah.
Did you put it on your arms and legs?
I think so.
Okay, well, Katie put sunscreen on. But, yeah, the water park was really, really fun.
All right, so two more questions for all of you. What was the best part of the trip overall?
Okay, I said the best part was just hanging out with everyone. We were in the car a lot together, walking a lot together. Everything we did was as a group because we have a small enough group that we didn't have to split up for anything, and we were all in the same room, and I really, really liked that. Just getting to, I mean, like, I know everyone here, but just getting to know them more and having fun with them.
My favorite thing was during the services, during the worship part, Melanie and I would go up to the front, like as close to the stage as we could, and then there's like a big crowd, and we would just like stand, jump around, and clap with the people. Yeah.
Also, okay. The food was really good, too.
I really liked the music. It was like high energy, and everyone was involved in it. Me and Katie went up, and we, like, jumped with everyone, clapped with them, sang the songs. Yeah.
I had a few I couldn't pick from. The first was probably about half an hour on the flight on the way there. Melanie opened her water bottle, and it exploded all over her face. But what makes it better is that we land, and I'm telling them, because I thought it was hilarious. And Jen goes, yeah, it happened to me too. Also, our hotel had a little hallway of 6 elevators, and every single time, I kid you not, every single time, we'd get in an elevator, and we'd ride up to the top or the bottom, and when we'd get out, Melanie would go, wait, I thought we were in that elevator. But for me, I think most exciting overall, and they'll all laugh at me, was seeing fireflies for the first time, because I'd never seen them before, and I think they're really cool.
All right, so your last question, how did you see God working during the trip?
For me, it was just that seeing that something stuck with each one of these girls, something different for all of them, and it's cool just to see that they were all impacted.
I saw God working when we were doing the Impact Indie service project thing. Our service project was to help feed children feed children in the United States through Feed the Children Everywhere. It was fun, and it was like good that we were helping people.
So for mine was the silent walk. Jen kind of already said it, but when the MC was saying before, he was like, yeah, after I say amen, there's going to be no talking. We're just going to be praying as we walk, and then we'll have communion. And then we were the second group to go out, and it was crazy because we just walked outside, and everyone was silent, and it was just really powerful.
I said the same thing as Melanie, the Impact Indiana. I'm just going to add like one thing to it. So they told us every time we pack a box, because we had a certain amount of bags that fit in each box, we were supposed to celebrate. And so all over the room, you'd hear at random times just people dancing and yelling and screaming out and stuff. And I thought that was pretty cool.
All right. Thank you. All right. I've got a certificate for each of you, and then we're going to watch a slideshow that they made, but I had to redo. It's a whole thing. Just hopefully that it works. All right. So Melanie Smatlek is best at speaking in questions. Everything she would say, she would end with a question mark. I don't know. You tell me. What do you think? Erica was most likely to fall asleep. She fell asleep, I think, every time we were in the car, every time we were in the room, in multiple services. Katie had the biggest appetite. Katie ate a half pound of ribs. Is that what it was?
Twice.
2 days in a row, I think, had a half pound of ribs, plus all the other meals that we had throughout the day. And Eliana is the best substitute counselor because she had to take over for me when I couldn't move, and so we greatly appreciate that she was able to go with all of them. So let's see if I can get this to go.
When I close my when I close my eyes.
Awesome. Thanks for sharing all that. Hey, we have a couple more songs. If you can get to your feet. Hope is here. Shout the news to everyone. A new day, peace has come. Jesus saves. Mercy triumphs at the cross. Love has come to rescue us. Jesus saves. Hope is here. What a joyful noise we'll make as we join with heaven's song to let all the world know that Jesus saves. Raise a shout to let all the world know that Jesus saves. Every debt has been repaid. Broken hearts can be remade. Jesus saves. See above the storms of life. See it through the darkest nights. Jesus saves. Free at last, what a joyful noise we'll make as we join with heaven's song to let all the world know that Jesus saves. Raise a shout to let all the world know that Jesus saves. We'll sing it out to let all the world know that Jesus saves. Raise a shout to let all the world know that Jesus saves. 'Cause He'll heal, He'll save, restore, reveal the Father's heart to us. He rose and raised us from the grave. The Spirit lives in us. Sing it out. Let all the world know that Jesus saves. Raise a shout to let all the world know that Jesus saves. We'll shout it out to let all the world know that Jesus saves. Raise a shout to let all the world know that Jesus saves. We'll sing it out. I was buried beneath my shame. Who could carry that kind of weight? It was my tomb till I met you. I was breathing but not alive. All my failures I tried to hide. It was my tomb till I met you. You called my name and I ran out of that grave. Out of the darkness into your glorious day. You called my name and I ran at that grave. Out of Now your mercy has saved my soul. Now your freedom is all that I know. I needed rescue, my sin was heavy, but chains break at the strength of your glory. I needed shelter, I was an orphan, but you called me a citizen of heaven. When I was broken, you were my healing, your love is the air that I'm breathing. I have a future, my eyes are open, could you call my name? Hope you had a great time at service today. Hey, a couple quick things before we move on to the gym. Today through Wednesday is the Double K camp, I believe, family camp. And if you need more info, talk to Bob and Barbara Christensen, I believe. Assuming that's them right there. I think the only other thing is just celebration service and potluck for the Smatlicks in the gym. So let's go celebrate them and their years here. So, all right, on to the gym.